this guy has an amazing part in my heart because he's a man of God. And when you know him and you get to know him, he's the real deal. And you know what? When he brings the word, it's from God. It's not his stuff. It's not no one else's stuff. It's the word from God. So sit here and be excited to hear what God has to say this morning. Come on, Jay.
Praise God. We say this all the time that I speak, but it's a privilege of all privileges to bring God's word. And you know that God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, the one who designed us, created us, made us, has chosen me and has chosen us to speak his very word. It's mind-blowing. There's no other word for it. And I just get, you know, and it's only by the Spirit of God that we can do these things. You know, it's his power working through us. And that brings great freedom into my life, into your life. Because it's not dependent on me or you, it's dependent on him. And I was just really excited. Niamh was telling me about the women's conference, which was, I don't know, it could have been 200 people, could have been less. But the amount of people that were there, you know, and the amount of people that are being impacted by the ministry of Noel and Sharon and by the leadership here in Liberty. You know, they mightn't be all coming here, but it's about the kingdom of God and advancing the kingdom of God. And when I heard of all this stuff, that's what the thought that came into my mind. You know, God's kingdom is advancing. God's kingdom is growing. And just what Anne said there about, you know, there's an army rising up. God is raising up an army. You know, and I was walking around there for Jesus because he saved me. You know, he died for me. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand side of the Father and he makes intercession for me and for each one of us as well. The message today I have is fullness in Christ, that there's fullness in Christ. There's fullness in Christ Jesus, that he has provided everything that we need for this life. And we're going on to be with him for eternity in heaven. And what a promise, you know, that we can live our life here on the earth for him. And then when we die, as Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whether I live or die, I'm in Christ. And that's the great news of the gospel. So Christ, he is our Savior, he is our healer, and he is our friend. And most importantly, he is our life. I was thinking of Christmas time and, you know, all the different movies I would have watched even as a kid and probably still today. You know, I was thinking of Mary Poppins and watching that movie, and I was thinking of her bag. You know, no matter where she was, she pulled her bag out, and everything that she needed was in the bag. You know, all the provision for every trip she was on, for every adventure she went on, everything was in the bag, you know. And that's what God has done in his Son. He has put everything into his Son, and he has given his Son to us. And that's beautiful. Colossians, I just want to note this. Colossians 2, verse 1. He says, I want you to know, and this is the Apostle Paul, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Lysinia and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that you may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. And I was thinking of that. And I was thinking of myself in my Christian walk. He's saying everything is in Christ. But he's saying that you would not be deceived by fine-sounding arguments. You know, people within the world will come with many arguments against God and against Christ Jesus. But Jesus has provided everything, and his hand is out to everyone. He's knocking on everyone's hearts. You know, that's what the Bible says. It says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am present from you in the body, I am present for you in the spirit. sorry, confused here. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in the spirit. And see how disciplined you were and how firm your faith is in Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. And he goes into it, he's saying, you know, as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, live your life in him. Be rooted in him. Be built up in him. Be strengthened in your faith in him. And then he goes in, he says again, he's talking about being deceived. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the element spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. And I looked that word up, element, and lots of different words that come up as significant. You know, in the world today, they're promoting a lot of things that in the spiritual, if you want to say, realm of things. That there's many different things being put on the shelf for people to taste. And the Bible says Satan comes as an angel of light. And he's known as the deceiver. And he will always try to draw people away from Christ. See, all the provision of God is in Christ Jesus. And if you're aware of that, you will go to the source for all of that provision. But if you're not, you can be drawn to other things. You can be drawn to other things within the world. You know, I was in work recently, and there's all these different things, mindfulness, Reiki healing, everything under the sun, reflexology, all of these different things. And a lot of them are birthed out of, I'm getting a little bit distracted there. They're all birthed out of Eastern religions and New Age and all this type of thing, you know. And the message of the gospel is that we would come to Christ, because there's no other name under heaven which a man or woman shall be saved, only through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. The fullness of God, the Father, is in the Son. And the fullness of the Son is in the Spirit. There's three persons, but one God. And it says, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you are also circumcised with the circumcision, not performed by the hands, by human hands, but by your whole self was ruled by your flesh, was put off when you were circumcised. Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who was raised from the dead. And what that's saying is that our old nature, when we gave our life to Christ, there was a circumcision done in our lives. There was a cutting off of the old man. And the Bible says that we became a new creation when we gave our life to Jesus. We were born again of the Spirit of God, each one of us. And that is the most, we were dead in our sins, but we were made alive again. What were we made? We were made alive to God. Because we were dead to him, because we were separated from him because of our sin. But when Jesus came and he died, not only did he come and take away our sin, but he made us alive again. He brought us back into relationship with him, you know? And that's a wonderful thing. So it goes on, it says, John 10, it says, the thief, who is the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And that's what Jesus is saying to each one of us here today. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. You're not orphans, you're sons and daughters of the King. Because Jesus has paid the price for you, each one. He died for you. He was nailed to the cross for you. He was beaten, he was rejected, he was mocked, he was despised. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he done that for each one of us. Corinthians 2, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. But as surely as God is faithful, our message is not yes and no, For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silas, and Timothy, that's Paul talking, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. And that's the message that God is saying today. Everything is in his Son. And it's not when you start your journey out on him, everything is yes. But everything is always yes, because when he comes into your life, he stays in your life. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know? And I really believe God is calling us to himself. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to drop everything else and come to him. Because he is the life. And this is Paul in Galatians. And he was talking to the Galatians. They were after being saved. They were after giving their lives to Christ. And before they started coming to Christ, they would have been under the law, the Ten Commandments. And there was another 660-something laws as well on top of that. And there was all these different traditions of man and commandments of man that they were laying before the people. But when Jesus came, he came to bring freedom from all of that and relationship. So this is the Apostle Paul. He's saying, I am astonished. He was bewildered. He was like, what is going on? I'm dumbfounded that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live life in the grace of Christ. And that's what God is calling us to live in, the grace of Christ Jesus, and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Eventually, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to prevent the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than one we preach, let them be under God's curse. Now, Jesus died on the cross and it was cursed for every one of us. And that's God's heart, that he take the curse off mankind. But what Paul is saying is that they were turning away from Christ and trying to obtain things by human efforts. They were trying to put laws in place and regulations and religion. You know, we can come here every week, and it's a cry of my own heart, is that I don't want it. I'm really being honest. I don't want it. I want relationship with God. I don't want to come here and pretend. I don't want to come here and put my hands up and sit down and stand up. I want to be real with God. I want to be real with him, you know, and that's what he wants with us, you know. And the grace of God is there to provide that for us. For it says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set a seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance to come. And that's what Christ is saying for each one of us. You know, I've bought you with my blood. I've set my seal of ownership on you. I've put my Spirit in your life as a deposit guaranteeing the inheritance to come. And there's inheritance for each one of us. He has put his inheritance on us. And guys, just as Chris and Angie, as I was just saying, no, I just see the Lord was saying that the favor of God is upon us. And I just seen just the glory of God upon us. And I just pray that over us and release that over us. And there's time coming that God, I've seen a building being erected. And, you know, as the building went up, it was like it was built, but it was another level on then. It was like that God is bringing us to another level. And I just thank God for us. And I just see us there and God is all over us. And Lord, I thank you for them, oh God. Father, just open up their vision, open up their hearts, Lord God. And we just celebrate them, oh God, in Jesus' name. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world. Now hear this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And this is the provision of God to each one of us, that God the Father and the Son working in total unity together for his purposes to bring mankind back to himself. You know? And it's a beautiful picture of the love of God. the great love of God. And I was thinking, I'll read that actually. John 15. And this is who we needed to be connected to. You know, God is speaking. He's letting us know that He is everything, and He's provided everything in His Son. And in John 15, there's another picture again of the Son and the Father. He says, "I am the true vine. I am the one you need to be connected to. I am the one you need to be coming to. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." And it's like he steps in there and he goes, "You are already clean. You are already clean." You know, Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin, all unrighteousness. Every single sin, past, present, and future. It's done, it's finished. Jesus died on the cross. The curtain was torn in two. We can all enter in. We've been forgiven. "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And he's talking about if we're not connected to the vine, that we become dry. And we haven't got the life source of God coming to us. Because we've stepped out of that place. And we're trying to do things in our own strength and our own efforts. And when we step back in, we've all the resources of heaven behind us. Because that's what Christ has provided. Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does will prosper." And it's just a connection again of coming to Christ, living your life as God wants you to live, you know? And because he loves us. The Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman. I think it's John 4. It says, verse 4. It says, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Now, a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "If you give me a drink," "when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?' Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as also did his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. There's a lot, and there's even more. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I don't have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, Go and call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, You were right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on the mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am him. Now, there's a lot in that. I was looking up a little bit about the Samaritans and, you know, what type of race they were, where they came from. And in the time of Jeremiah and Nehemiah and Ezra and different prophets, they would have been in Babylon. And when the people of Israel come out of Babylon, they would have went and lived in Samaria. And the people that would have came, that there was a, it was like a mixed race. It wasn't just the Jewish people. The Samaritan people worshipped many other gods. And that's why Jesus was saying, you don't know what you're worshipping. You don't know what gods that you're worshipping. You're worshipping, but you don't know what you're worshipping. He's saying, we worship by the Spirit. But that's the type of worshippers that the Father seeks. And we worship in spirit and in truth. Because Christ Jesus is the truth. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, who leads us into all truth. Amen. I have to say, I was so fed by this when the Lord was giving me it. Jesus is the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there's many things in the Bible. Jesus says, I am the door, I am the gate. You know, he's saying, listen, there's only one door. There's only one way. There's only one way. And that's Christ Jesus. That's how God has ordained it, that he has put everything into his son, that we would come to him. It keeps it simple. We don't have to go anywhere else. We don't have to run here, run there, or run anywhere. Because when he comes into our lives, when we put our lives in his hands, he does everything, as we all know. And he keeps us. Despite ourselves sometimes, if we're honest, he always keeps us because he loves us. So he goes, he says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough. I thought that was funny. You know, he's after being with Jesus, seeing Jesus raising the dead. He's seen him healing people. He's seen the blind, the deaf, the dumb. He's seen him walking. I don't know if he's seen him walking on water. But, and then he's saying, just show us the Father. That'll be enough for me. Come on, Lord. Just another word in the church or something. Get him to give me a word, will you? That'll be enough. What funny. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? I just thought that was very intimate. I was even thinking of my friend Phil Richardson, no? And it's like God just reconfirming his word again. Don't you know me? Haven't I been with you all these years? Haven't I never leaving you? Haven't I for you? Haven't I good things for your life? He's a kind God. He's a kind Father. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. The Father in Christ Jesus, in his Son, manifesting himself, shown his heart, going to the cross." And the great news is, even in John 5, it confirms that again. It says, Jesus gave them the answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." And the great news is that we can all know. This is the great message of today. God is, really, I just think, putting a foundation in place. That it's about Jesus, it's about his Son. And that he has put everything in his Son's hands. His Son is the head of the church. His Son is he gave him all authority over there's no other name under heaven which a man shall be saved only through Christ Jesus. And I was thinking of even in it's in Revelations the other day about talks about who was worthy to open the scroll. And it says there was none found worthy in heaven, on earth, or under the earth that could open the scroll. And then he says, one like this, a lamb that had been slain from the foundations of the earth, he could open the scroll. He could open the door for each one of us to come to the Father. And he's the only one. And the great news is, Hebrews 8, it says, "This is the covenant I will establish with my people, with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." And this, I really felt this as I was reading. It says, no longer. It's like God saying, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. And that's God's heart for each one of us, that we would all know, whether you're a president, whether you're a prince or a pauper, you know, as in the world of the eyes, because the Bible says we're all princes and princesses in God. So God is saying we can all know. We can all have revelation of who he is. And as I was thinking of this, the Lord starts speaking to me about the nation of Ireland. And God is on a mission. You know, I was thinking of the election that's coming up, and all the flyers that's being put in letterboxes, and all of the posters that's being put around the place. And I just felt the heart of God. And I felt like a determination in him. I felt him saying, he says, "I've heard all their prayers in this nation. I've heard their prayers," he says. And I felt like there was a determination that he was going to knock on doors. He's going to open up things. He's going to move through this nation. I know we know this. I know it's being prophesied over and over and over. But he says, "I love this nation. I love these people. I created them. I made them. I designed them. It's God who has made people. It's God who has created the earth. And he sent his Son to bring us back to him." And there's a great call on this nation. And for each one of us now, Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah and or one of the prophets." So they were in a place, they were like, "Who is this? Who is this Jesus?" Many different people were saying many different things. You know, is he a prophet of old? Who is he? Who is he? They replied, what do you say, he asked. Who do you say I am? And that's a question for each one of us. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the Messiah, back in them, they were expecting the Messiah, but they were expecting him in a different way. They were thinking he was going to come as a ruler, as a great king. Well, he did come as that, but they didn't recognize him as it. He came as a humble servant. He came and washed feet. He sat with sinners. It's upside down to the thinking of the world. Jesus replied, look what he said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. None of us can know God by another man or woman. It can't be revealed to us by flesh and blood. He says, but by my Father in heaven. That's how it's revealed. That the Father revealed the Son. They're all in unity. They're all in... For what purpose? To bring mankind back to himself. And we have such... You know, I'm not just saying... I remember Sharon saying loads of times when we were out doing different... She said, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of doing this work. By the work community we were in at the time. And I thought about that last night. God has ordained us before the foundations of the earth. Bible says that he has created us, that he has made us, that he has chose to save us and bring us into his kingdom. And not only chose, but he has chose the gifts we would have, the talents we would have, what way we would look, what road map is ahead for each one of us. And it's the best one. I have to be honest, I'm in education about, feels like it's about 30 years, 50 years now. Well, I tell you what, I'm not exaggerating. I could, when I started off, and I'm not just saying this, I couldn't write a paragraph. I couldn't write five sentences. Now I can write six. No, all joking aside. I am on my way with the glory of God. Someone that couldn't read and write, someone that couldn't spell, to get a degree in community studies. I'm being honest. I'm being really honest. I've done it a million times. I didn't want to go and do it. And that's being truthful. I'd much rather be in the church in a prayer meeting or whatever. But to tell me to go into, you know, a study thing for hours on my own or whatever, it was like it was killing me. Maybe it needed to be, maybe I needed to be killed, you know, in the flesh. But that's the truth, you know. But there's sometimes we don't know the big picture of God. You know, God just brings us on an adventure, and his adventure is always the best. So back to the revelation that comes. It comes by the Spirit of God. You know, and I was thinking even, like, I put this in just for the end, and it talks about the blind beggar receiving his sight. And now he was blind. And I'll read it out. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, what was happening? They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing. Jesus of Nazareth is here. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. He was in a desperate place. He was in a place where he couldn't see. And he was like, he was crying out to God. Jesus stopped. It just hit me, Jesus stopped. And ordered the men to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, and even he had a revelation. Because the Bible says no one can call him Lord. No one can call him Lord. Only that they have the revelation. I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus and praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So he was like, he was out there asking for his sight to be restored. And straight away when he received his sight, he followed Jesus. I was thinking of Paul, the Apostle Paul. Paul was radical. He was religious. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was gung-ho after God. He was going after God in everything. He was persecuting the church. He was going after God with all his heart. But if you want to say, he got the revelation of who Jesus was on the road to Damascus. And he said that he was knocked on his off horse with a blinding light. And the minute he got that revelation, it says that he started going out preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. Before that, he wasn't. He was persecuting Christians. But when he got the revelation, he started going out, Jesus is the Son of God. He was on fire. And look, we can see the evidence of his ministry through all of the, of his letters, through the Bible. And it's only by the revelation of God, by the Spirit of God, can we access this. And the great news today is it's for us all, and it's here.